It's Dallas Ott's picture, I believe. Good evening, guys. Crazy day, right? The skies. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, man. I know I heard a lot of people talk about the whole, like, PTSD of the Checo bar fire. I did, Debbie. I watched him, too. Hey, Dave. I know a lot of people talking about it, reminding them of the Checo bar and, you know, the anxiety that came with that. I've met, I think, five or six different couples that moved to Brookings from, after Paradise burned. Paradise, like, refugees. So I know they have a story to tell, that's far, far worse than our Checo bar fire deal. But that was our own community scare, and there were some folks around here that lost their homes, man. Yeah, and seeing that red glow, you know, that orangey red glow, it was weird. It was weird working in it all day long. Crazy, crazy. And then Ashlyn, I just, before I got on, I was trying to figure out what was going on over in Ashland. I don't know. Everything burning like crazy. When I was out over the weekend, man, it is like dry. Everything is crazy dry with these winds and everything. I mean, man, locally, guys, I just, nobody be out in the woods. Even smoking cigarettes or blunts or anything like that, man. Stay out of the woods. It's crazy. Yeah, right, Michelle? I know, Phoenix too. Phoenix is, evacuations too. Sebastian Shaw, that's funny. Huh, Sebastian, man, it's been a long time. I wonder how you even found out about this. By long time, Sebastian and everyone else watching, I mean, we're talking like, I don't know, man, junior high school, that's crazy you found me. Good to see you, though. I know you've been flying and everything. And one new case today I saw too. You know, even with the cases that we have had, guys, I showed up on your feed, Shaw. I'm really surprised the last few months and our low case numbers for COVID, you know, after all the different things that were worrisome in this community, different events and tourism and everything. So I know there's still a lot of folks that and I can see some good sound judgment behind it, that there's still just not much testing going on here, you know, so we wouldn't necessarily know about some cases, but we would know if people are getting sick and going to the hospital. So, yeah, for whatever reason, man, our cases are still just staying low, real nice and low. Maybe it's something on our water. I don't know. All right, guys. I don't have a great deal to talk about tonight, but I wanted to talk a little about the rally and what happened during the rally and afterwards and kind of what I heard about it because I was out of town. And then I'll double check. There wasn't anything. It was kind of a no council meeting week, so I don't really have any other updates from the city of Brookings. Hospital is no place for sick people. I don't have any crazy updates from the city of Brookings, so I'll chat about the rally, and then folks can get off, and then I'll those of you that want to stick around, I'll talk about my weekend for a bit, just so you guys get to know me. Last calculated, we're at 0.05% of population tested. Yeah, I get it, Bess. But there is like, there's no hiding the fact though that there wasn't a big curve and a bunch of people getting sick. You know, testing or not, if it was a rampant illness in the area, we'd have people going to the hospital. And I'm not trying to. Justin Kincaid, dude, I haven't seen you forever. Hashtag fake illness. So I'm not trying to say any sort of like any fake illness or downplay the seriousness of COVID or anything by any means. I mean, I'm counting, not really counting blessings, but just feeling fortunate that it hasn't, that we aren't one of the places, you know, aren't one of the places that are just popping off real crazy, you know, and have it really grip the community, like in fear, you know. It wouldn't take a whole lot. For example, you have a positive case in Fred Meyer or the mill or something like that, where there's a lot of people working and you get kind of an explosion of like 30 new cases or something, that would make everybody, you know, get pretty twisted. So I'm glad, and we just keep on it. Debbie Salzman, a lot of people wearing a mask. I think that's why we have low cases. That could be, you know, earlier on, Debbie, when our cases were still low, you know, and when people weren't wearing many masks and things, case numbers still low. And then with every, you know, whether it was opening up transient lodging for tourists, you know, we were going to see this big spike in cases, and Azalea Festival was another one that, you know, it was just asking for trouble and dumb, and there's going to be an explosion of cases, and you know, we've gotten lucky or something in our air or water, or I don't know, mayor's doing a real fine job. Something like that. So the rally, I know there were plenty of you, even that plenty of folks that reached out to me too, that in kind, I got a lot of messages that in kind words, in caring words, where it in, but it said something like, you know, don't worry kiddo, we'll get through this, we'll all be fine, we're all adults, and I'm glad that for the most part it turned out that way, and that Dave Barnes, I wish I always got all of your what you're laughing at. It could make me laugh, but I'm always seeing you late. Anyway, hey, Cody Calvary. From everything, you know, everything that I heard, one thing that I was glad to find out was that we didn't have a big influx of people from out of town. And the events, neither of the rallies were as big as what I thought they could have been, possibly. And it seems like what I was told, or at least my understanding of the planned kind of right-wing rally and their plan for how they were going to walk and stuff, didn't happen. That changed. So, you know, I got both, I heard from both sides. I heard from folks from both sides of, you know, different calling foul you know, I heard from both the left and the right calling foul and some different things, you know, but they were kind of classic things that not that I'm condoning or saying it's okay or anything like that, but things that would happen, things that I would expect to happen when you are amongst a bunch of people that are protesting something, you know. People getting called names, you know, personal spaces being kind of invaded a little bit, and people hooting and hollering. That was about as much as I suspected or expected. Debbie Salzman, we changed the plan so there would not be any trouble. Debbie, I'll take your word on that, and good call. Wisdom prevailed there, you know. Good on you guys, because that, you know, I know any issues that did come up were from, you know, when folks crossed the street, which is perfect, you know, perfectly within everybody's right. You know, you're protesting on public property, so I'm not pointing anybody out. But obviously, when the two sides mix and they get in close proximity to each other, that's when things go awry. So I'm glad you kind of, yeah, boy, good wisdom, yeah, adults, that's good. Some adults running the show there, yeah, that's good. You know, the biggest complaints, and I don't know if I ever mentioned this on these guys. So I guess I'm speaking more to the kind of the Republican side now, because the Republicans getting together at Goldilocks, you know, like fairly often, and the noise that creates, not so much the people that are like there, but the traffic going by and the honking, like for support or honking for, you know, whatever, if they flip you the bird to honk, or if they honk and say, yeah. It would be nice if some of the Republican folks, if you walked across the street and chatted with some business owners over there, because I've gotten business owners reaching out, asking, you know, what is there any recourse? Is there anything that they can do so they don't hear constant car honking for like 4 hours, you know? And they've asked me about it, and there's nothing, my understanding at least, there's not a whole lot the city can do, especially when most of the noise is from people driving by. It's not the people actually out there holding signs or anything. So, I mean, I realize that, you know, the election season's coming, and there's going to be a lot of folks out there, out in front of Goldilocks and in front of the Democrat headquarters there in the near future. But on the Republican side, guys, it'd be cool if just a couple of you would, you know, make the rounds to a couple businesses across the street, okay? Namely, you know, the restaurant, the tattoo parlor, and the bookstore there. If you guys, you know, just went in there and chatted with them and asked them how it affects their business and what might, you know, What might work better? What you guys could do maybe for them to keep it from happening? I don't know. Just a thought. Because I know a lot of you guys, and a lot of you guys are good folks, and you wouldn't want what you're doing to be a detriment to businesses. Are those owners also complaining about people loitering on the sidewalks, blocking pedestrian traffic to their shops? Dave Barnes, I'm assuming you're talking about like counter protesters or the Democrats over there. I don't know. I haven't. So the complaints that I've gotten, from business, I did get one from this last rally, but actually most that I had gotten were from, previous kind of like rallies or demonstrations from over there. And I get it. I mean, I get it. It's just, it's one of those things. It's in some ways, like they just have to kind of live with it for being on the highway. When we were up on the highway, you know, we had to deal with it. But it is just, you know, community-minded people. It could go a long ways just to go over there and chew the fat and acknowledge that you know that you are kind of you're causing this issue. You're sorry about the noise. You know what's the deal? What days are you open? You know, sort of thing. What day and time are you open? And here's the next one we have planned. You know, so you know like well and ahead of time. So when you're scheduling appointments and things, you know. Yeah, Debbie, that one I heard about. I heard about that one a lot. Yeah, that was too bad. Yeah. Andy Drew, is that Andre Bay, right? Andre, yeah, Evening Mayor, there you go. I always know. Andre Bay, so if you just hopped on there, because I know you're... I know, Andre, that you are the root of all evil in this area. if you ask a lot of people, Andre Bay is the root of all evil. But, partner, you know, yeah, extend a hand, guys. Extend an olive branch to some of the businesses around there and just, you know, chat with them. Understand, like I said, just acknowledge that their gripe is legitimate. It's not him. Okay. So that's it. So that's all about the rally and concludes the mayoral aspect of tonight's chat. But when I started doing these, you know, a lot of it I spoke about. Andre, I know it was pretty good. Oh, and I totally forgot. I've got to give a shout out to our police department for that whole deal. And there's a lot of folks that watch these messages that don't necessarily comment and I'll get private messages, you know, later. And, you know, rallies and riots going on other places, you know, it creates anxiety in a lot of folks. And so some folks have been reaching out to me that are kind of like legitimately fearful of what something might turn into. And, you know, they ask me about, you know, is the police up on this? I get a lot of those questions, and it's just kind of like checking to make sure that everyone's up on it and everyone's doing their job. So on this last rally, I know that the Brookings PD was on it, was aware, had folks stationed, you know, that were actually like line of sight. And those of you that were there, you know, I'm sure like could see patrol cars and stuff, different places. And I'm sure plenty of people recognize the presence of law enforcement. But you know, they weren't standing there trying to be present, but not necessarily visible. And had plenty of folks. I know the sheriff's office was kind of standby, you know, and a lot of BPD that was in, you know, kind of working that day on Labor Day, making sure everything would be cool. So I was glad they were up on that. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so you guys want to hear about my weekend? So so first of all, Friday night, I don't know how many of you have visited Latitude 42, the bar there it was the Hideaway for a long time, and then I think it may have been called something in between Hideaway and Latitude 42. But Holly and I went there. I don't get out to like bars too often. I don't drink so much anymore. But even when I was a drinker, I rarely went to bars. But we went there because Dave Houston, the Houstons, they got the place and did a remodel, and we wanted to go see it and eat some food. My wife will drink just a little bit when I can peer pressure her into it. But it was cool. It's a cool place, you know. It's cleaned up, it seems, from when I was in there last, you know, clean bar. They're still kind of getting the hang of different things. They'd only been going for a couple weeks, and still getting the feel of it. The Houstons are from Vegas, and they were in kind of like the trades, not tradesmen per se, but I want to say Dave was like a general, you know, or a superintendent or a general contractor for big housing projects. Jalapeno poppers, Susan Walsh. Yeah, they're not really poppers though, because they're like a loaf. I mean, they're small, you know, they're a small loaf size, and they're huge stuffed jalapenos. And you know what's funny is, they were hotter than crap there, like to the point of burning my mouth and not really wanting any. But man, the very next day I was like, man, I feel like one of those jalapeno poppers from Houston's. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good stuff. What was I talking about? This weekend, Latitude 42. And then Holly and I went back to where the whole family hiked to last time. If you guys remember that time I came on right after getting home off of a long hike, and the kids were all stinking tired, and I was tired as crap too. Went to the same spot but got there a different way. It's a really cool river spot that we found that is, it's hard to get to, but that means that there's not many people there. And we really like the spot. And Holly's a river girl, you know, that's her happy place. And I, you know, whatever, man, I like being out there, so I'll take her anywhere. It's interesting and humbling. So we kind of, not that I'm like this real hardcore environmentalist or anything by any means, but we are, you know, we buy into that, like, leave no trace deal on trails and campsites. And we always try to leave a campsite cleaner than when it was there. So when we leave, we pick up our trash and try to find some other trash to pick up. You know, when you camp with kids, it's a tough thing camping with kids, even when we've tried to instill in them the importance of not littering and being responsible, you know, for your stuff and being a good steward of the earth. So we go back to the same spot, and the only really things that we find that show a lot of like human activity is stuff from that our kids left there. So that was great. You know, we were expecting to find a bathing suit that was left there and some shorts that were left there, and we did. But I also found some garbage and stuff that I'm pretty sure were from us. So that was kind of a bummer, and showed me not to be so quick to pass judgment on people when I find crap out on the trail. But you know, it was, my weekend was just an absolutely amazing time that was needed and really, really good, man. Good for the soul. It's It's something. Just being out there, at least for me, and it, you know, the woods kind of being my happy place, and being out there, you're out there with Father God and Mother Nature, you know. Yeah, I didn't mean to like hit anybody's serious weirdo button, but from my perspective and my own personal beliefs and worldview, you know, that's a big part of me being out in nature like that. But for the first time in a while, just being Holly and I, and I think I've spoken before, you know, kind of given a brief history lesson of the life of Jake Pieper, but Holly and I actually, we kind of grew up together. Her older brother and I were best friends, like in junior high school, and for a while, best friends, man. We were best friends right up until the time that I started dating his little sister, and we're still friends, but that definitely ended the childhood best friend thing. But I knew Holly and Holly's family when I was in seventh grade is when I moved into town in Walla Walla. And so I grew up in her house, you know, spent a lot of my weekends there, visiting her brother and Chris's little sister, who, you know, Holly was the little sister until one day I was there and I wanted to do something. Chris wasn't there, and all of a sudden Holly wasn't quite like the little sister anymore, you know. And so we started courting or dating when we were 16, and we got married at 18 and 19. I was 19. And I'm 37 now, so that's, I think in January it'll be 18 years, or I think in January it'll be 18 years. But anyway, he's gonna get mushy now. No, not quite. Not mushy. And I'm cognizant of the fact that, you know, because I'm mayor, like, that gives me a podium to speak from, and is the only reason that people are like watching me now. And just because I have that podium doesn't mean that people want to like hear my take on like marriage and the workings of that and you know, being a parent and things like that. But it's so my community knows me. It's been an amazing thing knowing somebody at the level that I know my wife and that life partners know each other for this long, and knowing her at 16 years old to now, she's just a year younger than I am. And having witnessed the growth of just of an amazing individual and what a person that Holly is, was, and has become. It's an amazing thing. And she has taught me more when you get into the realm of like gender equality and between male and female. My wife has taught me more about that than anything or anyone. And for me being able to witness with my own eyes what a strong, confident, and powerful woman can do, and how steadfast they can be and convicted in their own beliefs, and just kind of be this unshakable wall that wasn't a perspective that I had of the female gender. Right. Man, I hope not, Candace. I really hope not. I hope not. I hope that's not super rare. I really do. Yeah, she's pretty great. And what a deal to get. Cause I know you guys are either in my spot or past my spot and can look back about what it was like, you know, when you're married and you're raising kids and you're working for a living and and what that can do and what that can turn a marriage into. So for us to be able to step out of both work, the whole mayor umbrella and out and stepping away from our kids and just being Jake and Holly, you know, like we were when we were 16. And I'm not talking, so Dave Barnes already warned me about the PG thing. So I'm not talking about any like birds and bees. I mean, just hanging out like, and being the friends that we were when we met each other and the friends that the friends that we were that brought us together in the union of marriage, and what a relief it is to find out that we're still that, you know, when the kids get away and it's just us and we're hanging out, man, we're still like that. We can still enjoy each other's company. And that is just a huge, through my entire life of my entire long life of 37 years, to, you know, there's a couple things that stick out that I go, you know, I got that one pinned. One being my faith, and two being the woman that is my life partner now. And I knew within 2 weeks of actually kind of like dating Holly, 2 weeks go by and I knew, it's like, man, I got to get this one nailed down. You know, this is a keeper. I got to get her nailed down. And it's nice to get those confirmations throughout the years, you know, that it's like, man, sweet. We're still in a good place. You know, we still love each other and can enjoy being around each other. So, yeah. Yeah, Debbie, I know. There's a lot of that. Both Holly and I come from families of, you know, divorced folks, and both of those, we both have our stories about that aren't too rosy. And my folks, especially the divorce and kind of or my childhood of you know, visitation rights and stuff, and how my parents interacted was horrible. Was absolutely horrible. Yeah, crazy horrible. And so I know it's an uncommon. It's kind of sad, but it is a halfway uncommon thing anymore for, you know, meeting somebody that they've been married for 50 years and it's just all they've ever known. And, you know, it's the day and times that we live in, it's more normal to have had numerous kind of, you know, partners, whether they were spouses or whoever. You know, and whether that's good or bad, I mean, everyone can be the judge of that for themselves, but I feel very, very fortunate. Very lucky that it's so far it's worked out for Holly and I, and every time I look at it, like really give it a serious hard look, I'm gonna leave that one. Whenever I really have the clarity of mind to think clearly about myself and about Holly and about the two of us together and the sort of oneness that two halves can make, and how she is everything I'm not, you know, she covers every shortfall that I have. She is the epitome of a giving and loving human being who cares about others more than she does herself, and spends her life serving people. And that ain't me. I mean, I do my duty. I mean, I answered the call and I do my civic duty and everything. And I have grown to care about people. But the natural Jake Pieper is not exactly like a super loving, you know, loving kind hombre. But Holly is, so it was nice. Worked out well. That, and anyone that's ever met our kids, my wife is incredibly skilled. naturally gifted, I think, but also incredibly skilled in raising, you know, young children. And people, if you've met my kids, my children are a serious testament to Holly's ability. You know, of course I was here and like, and had my part in it. The logistics though, of at least the way our family is kind of ran with me working outside of the home, I accept and am happy that, you know, my wife and raising our children and her having a far greater hand in that than I did. I'm really glad my kids have a good mom and got through those like really, really young years, you know, getting squared away when they're young. So when they're older, hopefully things are a bit easier. So yeah. Okay, so that's my Jake chat, tribute to my beautiful wife, man. Yeah, she's something. It's crazy. Yeah, really something. And still really good looking. So that's a plus. You gotta find, my mom always told me to look at their parents. You know, you're interested in a girl, Jake, you look at her parents and what they look like. So I did my homework there too, and got lucky in that my wife has continued to age and just age well and still be really a beautiful woman. So yeah, so we still, you know, it was a fun time. We hiked down, and it was a pretty gnarly hike. You know, it's easier than going down the mountain, but it's still a long hike, and it's hot and smoky when we were there. But when we got on the Chetco, because we were there for two nights, so that second day, we hiked, just kind of like river swam, hiked, bouldered further up the Chetco for about a mile, and just seeing parts of the Chetco River, guys, that I had never seen before. That was just absolutely stunning. I was hoping to see Dave Lavelle, if I saw his face on here today, I would know. I knew that he would know the sort of rocks and things that we were seeing, because the look changes and the sort of rock formations and everything in the river further up changes a lot than what a lot of us locals are used to seeing from like the South Fork of the Chetco down, you know, to the port. So all the bars and things that locals camp on, what that looks like, and what the Chetco River is in our mind, is I saw some parts of it that were really, really gnarly looking. Kind of reminded me more of how the Smith River is, you know, just with rock and kind of just big old granite bottom and super clean water. So it was an amazing time. So for that reason, I'm glad I missed you guys on Sunday. And yeah, super clarifying time, man. Super clarifying. It was cool. It was good. Okay, so I will be on. I'll be on Thursday, guys, at 6:00. And I'm not sure what I'm chatting about. I think I'm gonna reach out and maybe start. I know I heard from a candidate that really wanted to wait. One of the council candidates that really wanted to wait for ballots to be out, you know, before coming on and kind of doing the Jake show with me. I don't know, but I kind of want to get it going. I want to get it going before the community conversation is drowned out with other things, more like national politics and stuff. So I think I'm wondering maybe next week to start that. So you guys be chewing on what you would like to hear from council candidates, the sort of things that you'd want to hear from them. It'd be cool to find some questions, to get some questions that aren't the normal, the normal, like almost filling out a job application for city council. You know, why do you want to be a counselor? Name your three favorite and your three least favorite things about Brookings, and where do you see Brookings in 5 years? You know, those normal questions. So be chewing on it. Okay, guys, I'll see you Thursday at 6. Have a good night.